Livewire with Jason Moyle.
Hello, I'm Jason from Livewire, and joining me today, I'm very happy to say we've got Philip Wright from the band Paper Lace. Hello, Philip.
Hello, nice to be with you.
Yeah, it's nice to have you on the show as well, because there's a lot of interest in the 70s right now as well, because it's kind of making a big comeback. And we'll talk about your touring, because you're still touring later on. But let's go back to the very beginning. You had your success in 1974, but when did you form exactly?
Well, the band that actually became Paper Lace was a band called Music Box, which I joined in 1967.
Okay. And so when did Music Box turn into Paper Lace? Was it an amalgamation of several bands?
No. It was the same band, basically. We went and we signed up with Mecca to do a residency in Rochdale for 6 months. And that was in 1970-71. And we came out of that residency as Paper Lace.
Okay. And you released a couple of albums. Your first of two studio albums was called First Edition. And but your success happened when you went on Opportunity Knocks.
Yeah, that's right. Yes, we appeared on Opportunity Knocks. We took the audition for Opportunity Knocks in 1970, and we appeared on the show in 1973. So it took 3 years basically for them to. And during the show, one of the writers of our first hit, Billy Don't Be a Hero, his wife, Peter Callender's wife, Connie, saw the show. She was a bit of a vehicle for their music. And she said, why don't you get in touch with their management? Because they look, young bunch of lads, as we were then. And the rest is history, basically.
Yeah, and people forget, obviously, with Britain's Got Talent and every other talent show that's going on TV now, but Opportunity Knocks in the 70s was absolutely huge, because there was only three TV stations back then and they had a big audience. And did you? How many times did you win Opportunity Knocks?
I think we won it about four times. I feel, it had much more integrity, that show, than the shows that are on today.
Because definitely.
It wasn't just a matter of getting your vote through via email. It was, you got to put pen to paper. You had to write in. It was a postal vote. And we used to get thousands of postal votes. I mean, it was tens of thousands. Well, they had a viewing public of 7 million at the time, and there was a proportion of that viewing audience were avid voters, and so they picked somebody who they liked, and they put pen to paper, as I say.
And for those people who didn't know the format of Opportunity Knocks, I believe that the acts went on, and if they won, they went on to the next week and fought it out again the following week. Isn't that correct?
Yeah, that's right. Yeah, you were pitched against the people that you were that were actually appearing on the show that next week, the following week, and our popularity went through the roof. Really, it was quite amazing. So when the record was launched, people knew about Paper Lace. We'd appeared on TV in 73 for probably 5 weeks out of six. We were on TV to a viewing public, as I say, of about 7 million.
And, of course, following that, you had your huge hit, Billy Don't Be a Hero, which was one of the biggest selling records of 1974.
Yeah, that's right.
Tell us a little bit about how that actual song came about.
Well, as I say, Mitch Murray and Peter Callender had written the song. We went following a sort of chat, phone chat with our management. We went down to meet Mitch Murray and Peter Callender and at Mitch's house, and we got on very well, and they played roughly, banged it out on a piano, and they said, what do you think? And we said, well, yeah, it's a catchy song and all the rest of it. And they said, oh, we've got loads of ideas for it, because obviously there was no drums then, and Mitch had said we're gonna have a whistling intro.
Yeah.
Thought, oh, novel. Yeah. So I mean, he could sell a song to us anyway, and it was just Well, it was just amazing. You know, we went away thinking, you know, that song is it, and it was in our heads. As we knew in the future, it would get in other people's heads, the record buying public, as it were.
Yeah, and it's, as you said, very unique, the whistling start to it. There's not many songs that have whistling in it like that. So
no.
And you had other successes as well. Obviously, you followed it up with the Night Chicago Died, and also the Black Eyed Boys as well. We got into the charts in 1974, late 74, got to number 11. So it was a kind of a golden age for you, really, that time.
Well, the Night Chicago Died in particular, because that reached number one in the States for us. And that was, at that time, there were lots of bands trying to make it in America. And we just released a song that went up there, no problem.
So who actually wrote that one? Was it the same writing team?
Yeah, Mitch Murray and Peter Callender. I mean, they've written everything bar our last recording, which was a song called I Think I'm Gonna Like It, that didn't do anything at all, by the way. It got a lot of airplay, but it didn't make the charts or anything. But they wrote just about everything that we released.
Yeah, and you've been touring virtually ever since the 70s, haven't you? You're still touring to today, and you've been abroad, been New Zealand, Australia, all over the world. Obviously, at the moment in these COVID times, you're restricted probably a little bit more to the UK, but you're still touring. Yeah. You're still touring this year, aren't you? And I believe you just finished concerts with Merle Osmond.
Yeah, that's right. We did a concert in Leeds at the Leeds Armouries, and it was basically our first gig for about 18 months. So we're looking now, collecting gigs this year for next year, and hoping it's rather than a tour, it's more single gigs anywhere and everywhere we can get them.
Okay, so it's just a case you're just open for local venues to just request you to come over then, basically. It's not going to be a tour as such.
Well, yeah, but some of them aren't so local. You know, we originate from Nottingham, and yeah. I'm still here, and we travel all over the UK. I mean, the sort of gigs that are open to us, the type of gigs that are open to us, obviously are the holiday resort themed weekends, 70s, that's it, the nostalgia sort of gigs are fairly big. And we've got a run of those next year. And yeah, I'm just hopeful that people still want to hear us. And it's a good band. It's a great, we do an hour and sort of quarter of an hour and a quarter set, which is all paperless material.
Brilliant. And as I mentioned earlier on, the 70s is coming back, and of course obviously at the moment Channel 5 are doing the best hits of the 70s, which you featured in, of course, in 1974. So hopefully that will get a new audience for you.
Yeah, hopefully lift the profile a little bit. I did a 1.7 second into 1972, yeah. but 74, I got a couple of chances to sort of say something. So yeah, it was good.
Yeah, and so you obviously, it's all the original material, but you and Cliff Fish are still the two original members from the band. Is there any writing of new material at all, Philip?
Yeah, we've got we include a couple of band-written songs in the set, and they're very like, they don't stick out at all. They blend very well into the music that we used to produce in the 70s. But the band has changed somewhat in as much as we realise that the arrangements of the song, they sound the same. My voice, thankfully, is I sing everything in the same key that we recorded Fit Stuff in. So my voice hasn't changed, as many people have sort of said in the past. So it's all systems go, really. And the songs that the new songs that we've written, as I said, blend into the act very, very well. There's one particular song called It's Worth It that says it's a bit of a story song about the band, about when we started and we had hit records and all the rest of it. And it bops along. It's quite good.
Okay, and people can get the new material from various platforms, the normal platforms. They can buy the.
It's all on Spotify for streaming, and there's a bandcamp.com if you want to contribute to the band. They're all out there.
Brilliant. And have you got
all the new platforms?
And have you got a website?
Yeah, we've got a website. It's originalpaperlace.com, and if you go on there, there's some gigs. Well, I try and post as much as I can, although it's been a little bit sparse of late, but it is picking up now. So the website sort of shows the band performing. It's got a bit of a video from Australia when we went over there in 2017. So it's fairly recent. It's very indicative of where the band is and what sort of music the band plays.
Brilliant. And have you got a social media presence like Facebook or Twitter?
Yeah, we've got Facebook. The original 70s Paper Lace is on Facebook. And I've got a personal page. Philip Wright is my personal Facebook page. We're accessible everywhere.
Brilliant. And you mentioned videos. Is there a YouTube channel for Paper Lace, or if you just type in Paper Lace, you'll get videos?
You will. You'll get videos. Lots of stuff on there.
Okay, brilliant. And what would you like us to play?
I think you can either play Billy or the Night Chicago Died, because that's what people remember.
Which one would you prefer out of the two?
I think the Night Chicago Died.
Okay. And obviously, so that's very special, because it must have been quite an experience to make it the Billboard number one in America. That must have blown up for you there in America quite a bit, and very exciting times.
Yeah, it was. And the Night Chicago Died, in actual fact, was the record that was the top selling single of 1974 worldwide. So it's pretty marked in our diaries.
Oh, it's been great talking to you, Philip. Thank you very much.
Nothing of it. I enjoyed it.
A summer night in the land of the dollar bill, when the town of Chicago died, and they talk about it still. When a man named Al Capone tried to make that town his own, and he called his gang to war with the forces of the law, I heard my mama cry. I heard her pray the night Chicago died. And the sound of the battle rang through the streets of the old East Side, till the last of the hoodlum gang had surrendered up or died. They were shouting in the street, and the sound of running feet, and I asked someone who said, about 100 cops are dead. I heard my mama cry. I heard her pray the night she came. Chicago died. Brother, what a night it really was. Brother, what a thought it really was. Glory be. heard my mama cry. I heard her pray the night Chicago died. Brother, what a night the people saw. Brother, what a night the people saw. Yes, indeed. Then there was no sound at all but the clock upon the wall. Then the door burst open wide, and my daddy stepped inside, and he kissed my mama's face, and he burst her tears away. The night Chicago died.
Livewire is produced by Steve Osborne Media. Steve Osborne Media.